for a lot of people, this is all they know. They grew up with the plant. They grew up together. The plant grew up along with them. There's a lot of fear, a lot of what's out there, because this is all we know, a lot of people know. With the fear comes anger, finger pointing. Whose fault is this? Is this your fault? Is this my fault? Is it the company's fault? Is it the union's fault? Whose fault is it? I think that's natural for people to be afraid, because there's a lot of fear in the unknown. Fortunately, there's a lot of people out there that are trying to help. Different organizations have offered help, and different resources for people, some re-education, some federal funding. There's a lot of help out there, but people have to reach out and do it.
Are people signing up? Are they getting their process in train and getting ready for the day?
Some are. Some are still, I don't know what I'm going to do. Obviously, one of the wonderful things about the severance package we got, we were able to take that along with unemployment as well. So there's going to be a little buffer zone to make a transition into whatever is next. But like I said, so many people, I mean, they started when they were 19 years old, right out of school, right into the plant, and that's all they've known their entire lives. Some of us are a little bit older. I was like 30 when I started there, so I had a career before Mitsubishi, and you know, there is life outside Mitsubishi, but a lot of people are going to find out for the first time.
What are you going to do? What are you personally planning on?
Well, Charlie, the reason I'm here, I used to be in radio. I'm here. When I leave here, I'm going to apply for a job here at the station. I do have a couple irons in the fire. I do have some opportunities that I'll be looking into. Everybody's going to be different, though. Everybody has the chance to go back to school, and I think it's really important that our membership, take advantage of that if that's what they need. If they don't have their degree, there's an opportunity to go back and get your associate's, possibly your bachelor's or further beyond that, and qualify yourself for some jobs that are out there. And there are jobs out there. This is a great community. That's the great thing about Bloomington Normal. We're almost I've always seen us in an economic dome, because Bloomington Normal seems to thrive when other areas don't. So this area is really great. There's some great opportunities for people to re-educate themselves and head back into the workforce and start pumping that income back into our economy. Believe me, this is going to be a hit on our economy here, Bloomington Normal. There'd make no doubt about it. The dominoes have just started to fall.
What have people said at the plant about their spending patterns since the news came out? I would expect things to start to change.
I think everybody, and I've talked to a couple of guys today, as a matter of fact, in the plant. We were talking about, well, you got to sit down with the family. Things are going to change now because mom or dad is losing their job, so we're going to have to alter the way we do things for a while here until things line themselves out.
Have they proactively done it?
I hope they have. I can't speak for 1,000 people. I can speak for myself and a couple of guys I've talked to, a couple of people that, you know, we encourage to do things like that. We've known about this for several months now, all right? So hopefully most people have been proactive and are starting to do things. Are they all? Probably not.
There has been talk of re-education. There's been talk of support services. There's been talk of a number of things to help workers transition. Are those systems set up and on the ground and going?
Some of them are. We've worked with CareerLink. We've talked with CareerLink with people from IDES, from the different community colleges in the area. Haven't seen too much of anybody else, but from what I've been told, there's going to be other organizations helping out. Haven't seen too many of them yet, but we're looking forward to getting all the help we can.
And is the communication happening, saying this will be coming or this is here, and do workers know about it?
The communication is probably the biggest problem that we've had over the last couple of months. We're not getting good communication from any side.
The company, the business community,
the communication is not exactly the best right now. I know they're trying, and we got a lot of people out there that are going to be affected by this. But the more over communication is better than under communication. You know, just flood me with information, and I'll let me decide what is worthy.
And instead, what is happening?
Yeah, we get this and that, and it's a little vague here and there. Obviously, people have to take it upon themselves, you know, pick themselves up by their own bootstraps, so to speak. And you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, that type of thing. But a little bit more information can never hurt. Doesn't matter.
Let's go back to the topic of loss. I mean, what we're talking about here is, in effect, a grieving process. Although it's not a person, it is still a loved environment and a loved position. And people deal with grief in different ways. What are the things you've seen about how people are coming to terms with it?
When we first got the news, it was still several months down the road, so people were taking it in stride. They weren't really shook up. I talked to a man today who came up to me and said, this is starting to get really real because we're 2 weeks away. You know, 2 weeks away from walking out the door for the last time. And he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. And I said to myself, oh my goodness, this is a heck of a time to start thinking about that now, you know. But the closer we get to the end, you can see the sobriety in the workforce. A somber feeling throughout the plant. I was talking to a woman today who said that last day, I don't know how I'm going to just not cry all day. And I asked her why, and she says, because you're all my friends. This is what I've done for almost 30 years, and I love everybody here. And for the most part, I'll never see most of these people ever again. It's very difficult. I just hope people take advantage of the opportunities they have here. I've talked to people who got laid off back in 2004, and they're saying, actually, it was the best thing that happened to me. There is life outside Mitsubishi. You have to look for it. You have to work for it. But there is an opportunity for you out there, but you have to go out and grab it. Is somebody else going to go into the building? I don't know. You know, we can't think about that right now. We hope that another buyer would come in and buy the facility and provide jobs for people. But that's not something you can plan for. That's just something you hope happens, but you've got to plan for the alternative. And that's what most people are doing.
Some people will rise to that. Some people will struggle and get there eventually. Some people might fold emotionally. Can you tell from people's demeanor as the day gets closer what's going to happen with any given person?
Okay. I've said this before, and I will say it again. The people that I work with out that plant are the best people, the hardest working people I've ever worked with. It's a very intelligent workforce. The percentage of people who fold will be minuscule. I believe that this bunch of people who are the best, and I will miss dearly, are going to be fine. We're going to rise to the occasion. We're going to do what we have to do. We're going to pick ourselves up because we're not, that's the mark of a lazy person. That's not a lazy workforce. That's a hard working bunch of people.
Are you making arrangements to stay in touch with people, networking and sharing contacts and saying, let us not lose touch?
Absolutely. There's a Facebook page out there called Mitsubishi Survivors Facebook page. I think there's over 1,000 people who are on that page now. And that includes people who have left, have retired. And that's growing every day. So there's that. I've noticed there's a lot of people that are on other social networks as well. LinkedIn is another one. It's a great, great networking area as far as a business social networking site. And then personally, you're going to have people that you've worked with that you have become not just workmates but friends for life. And I think everybody's like that as well. You're going to have those special people that you're going to still go out for a beer with. You're still going to, you know, meet for dinner, invite over to the house. You know, these are relationships that have been established and will last a lifetime.
Mitsubishi's workforce has been a unit that is not just at the plant, but a cultural force in the community in terms of fundraising for charity, in terms of activities. How will the community notice that lack?
I hope the community doesn't notice it at all. And I've been a large part of the of the union, which represents the workers out there for a long time. And one thing I've noticed about this community, they always step up. It doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really matter where the funds come from. Somebody's going to step up. The one that jumps to my mind right now is the Toys for Tots drive.
Which Mitsubishi workers began and made a roaring success.
Yes, the UAW skilled trades workers really headed that up. The skilled trades committee for the UAW out there at Mitsubishi started that up, and it was just it grew every year. It started out a couple thousand, $3,000, $5,000, $10,000, $12,000, $15,000 worth of toys were given away to Toys for Tots, the U.S. Marine Corps Toys for Tots every year, and that, boom, that's over now. But that is such a tremendous organization and effort that I think that the people who still live in town, you know, the people who still live around here, even though they may not be working at Mitsubishi anymore, they're going to find a way to donate to Toys for Tots. So I don't think that's going to change. With the UAW and Mitsubishi being an organizer for a lot of these drives, that obviously is going to change, but it's going to get done. It might take a year or two to see it come back, but it'll be back.
There is, next Tuesday, a Salute to Mitsubishi Workers event planned for the plant in the afternoon at about the shift change at 3 p.m. How important is that to have that recognition from the community?
I don't think a lot of the workers are going to be aware of what's happening. And I think when they see the people show up out there holding their signs, thanking the workers for all they've done and all the time and effort that they've put in over the years, I think it's going to choke a lot of people up, Charlie. I really do. I would love to see a large turnout from the community there we just build cars, all right? We're just factory workers, just a bunch of auto workers out there. We're just doing our job. We're feeding our families. We're just doing the best we can to feed our families. And to see an outpouring from the community and recognition of what we've done for this many years, I think it's going to catch people off guard, and I think they're going to get choked up.
There have been talks about different entities coming in for a look-see about the plant. What have you seen?
Well, I've heard talk. There's a new rumor every day on the plant floor about different prospective buyers. That's not something we can get caught up in. We have a state-of-the-art facility still. It's a wonderful plant. We have a great location. The infrastructure of Bloomington Normal is great for a manufacturing facility. Manufacturers in the past have been offered incentives to come here and be here. Mitsubishi got some great incentives from our past governor to be here and stay here, and the past governors, not just the past ones, but the ones before that as well. Hopefully we can get state government to offer any prospective buyer some incentives to come here. We got 30 years experience building cars. I mean, we got a trained workforce, ready to work, hardworking workforce. You can't ask for much more than that. We made a lot of sacrifices over the years to keep that plant going. I mean, a ton of sacrifices. People, I keep reading in the paper how the workers gave up $1.60 an hour. And I put a pen to paper a while back on that. Each worker at that plant gave back in pay and benefits over $100,000 to Mitsubishi to keep that. I mean, you multiply that times how many workers are out there, that's a whole lot of money, Charlie, to keep that place going. That's probably why there's a little bitterness out there, because the workers gave that back to keep the plant open, yet we're still going to close. They feel like they've been betrayed. They feel like they're having the rug pulled out from underneath them. It's part, like you said earlier, it's part of the grieving process, I guess. It's the fear, the anger, the feeling of betrayal. There's a lot of the gamut of emotions out there, crazy right now. It depends on who you're talking to and what their situation is. And I can only speak for myself and the people that I talk to. It's going to be a life changer, Charlie.
Absolutely. Jerry Harcharek is a worker at Mitsubishi of 27 years standing and formerly in union leadership. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
I'm Charlie Schlenker.